Welcome back to another broadcast. This is a part two of a discussion I've been having that stems from the text found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And I read verse number 5 last week, but I believe I'll pick it up in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And here the Apostle Paul is writing and saying that the battleground is really taking place in your mind. He's saying that the battle is you being able to secure your thoughts so that your thoughts align with biblical thoughts, and that anything that comes across your mind that does not line up with biblical thoughts, that you need to identify that, and then you need to cast that down. And so we looked at last week, I guess I really shared a good bit or gave quite a few examples of my personal life, and I can really talk best about me. I could talk about other people. I don't like to bring other people's scenarios into it because they could be listening. But if you look at whatever struggles that you may have, or your spouse may have, or that your children may have, you know them quite well. Or if you're someone's child and you're younger of age, look at your brothers and sisters and identify what are the struggles that they have. And with their struggles, you can probably identify them or the cause of them to some problems that had happened a good while ago. And from those events that took place, it began to put thoughts in the person's mind about themselves. Either other people verbally made statements to the individual, whether it be you or your parents or your brother or sister, or if you're a parent, look at those folks that you know. What was done? What took place in their life? What was their struggle? And as you identify it, you can begin to recognize some things that they might not have believed accurately. I shared examples of how I thought that I was stupid because it conveyed to me that I was stupid. I lived in the trap of being stupid. I tried to do all I could to get out of being identified, or at least me thinking I'm identified as stupid. And the harder you try to get out of that, the more you seem to mess up and more to fulfill those statements about yourself, and to where eventually you believe them to be true. However, as I shared, it was anything but the truth. I was not stupid. In fact, I'm the other end of the spectrum. But yet I believe that to be so. And I carried that from my childhood through my adolescent years into my adult life. And it began to control me because in my mind, I thought that I was stupid. And that in order to be worth something, I need to outdo other people, and I had to accomplish things to show how valuable I was or how smart that I was. And I lived in that trap, which you will never convey to people enough. You'll never feel that you've done enough. You'll never feel that accomplishments that you may have done, whatever one or many may be, that it will never be enough to satisfy or quell the lie that you've believed. Let's take a young girl that maybe has been sexually abused. I remember when I was traveling around the country talking about anger and forgiveness and the results of anger, the source and the results and how to deal with it. And we would hear people's story at the table afterwards, our display table. We'd hear the story. I remember this one woman saying that it was her father who had abused her and her sister repeatedly, time after time, all through their childhood. And then, of course, hearing her wonderful story of how she was able to forgive her father. But while she's growing up, and you take a person like that, what do they think about themselves? Well, I've been treated like trash, so I must be trash. I've been treated like I'm worthless, so I must be worthless. What things were said to these individuals when they tried to maybe tell, nobody believed me. Nobody cares enough to believe me. Nobody wants to believe me. So I am worthless and I am unbelievable. And so carry that through your life. And what's the outcome going to be? Good chance it's going to be somebody at a Reformers Unanimous addictions recovery program, or somebody going to a local NA or AA meeting and still struggling to try and get victory, because it's not whether I'm going to stop doing drugs or stop doing alcohol. It's that I've got these things that I say to myself that has been conveyed to me that I believe in, and those things are not true. But to me, they sure seem like they're true. The more often that you've heard them, and now you finally get to a point where they must be true. They must be true. So as we're looking at this, let's take a look at a verse that we said last week, which is out of Proverbs chapter number 23, verse 7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And of course, we could go over to Matthew and talk about out of the mouth proceeds the abundance of the heart. But we definitely see a tie that what's in the heart of somebody is going to be what they are, what their actions are. So think about that. And as we think about that, what's in a person's heart and how they think in their heart is going to affect what they are or how they act. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You tell me, what would be some key things to identify that were in the mind of Jesus Christ? What things in mind do you think of when you think of Christ? I listed a few of these myself, and I think of love, compassion, empathy, forgiveness, trust, things that are pure, caring, patience. These are all the things that God wants to develop in my life, but it's going to develop in my life as I have this same mind as Christ did. Because God knows that the battle is in our heart and the battle is in our mind. And what's been happening is that as we live this life, the world, everybody in it, those around us have been creating a mindset. They've created, we can say they've created a library of tapes, a library of CDs, or a huge volume of MP3 files that would be in your heart and in your mind. And they constantly make statements to you. They play things to you, whether they're true or whether they're not. And what God talks about when we're going to be victorious is that we need to change those thoughts in our mind. Thinking of Romans chapter number 12, look at verse number 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I've heard this preached so many times about, you know, we were lost, we were sinners, now we're saved, and we need to get that wrong way of thinking out of our minds, the world's philosophy and the world's view and how they solve problems, and amen to that. That's all true, and it's all good and well. But, you know, it can go beyond that. This also goes into those thoughts that have controlled you in the past. Those are the thoughts that we need to not be conformed to that world that's around us, the world of people around us that has created this mindset in us. And God wants us to change that. So let's do a word study. Remember, we've done these before my broadcast. What are some key words? I've listed key words: conformed, transformed, renewing, the word mind, prove, good, acceptable, perfect, and will. And as I looked at these, I saw conformed is to fashion alike. So God says, and be not conformed to this world, or don't be fashioned like the world, or don't be fashioned like the world is trying to fashion you. Don't be fashioned by the negative things your mother has said. She's part of that world. Don't be fashioned by the negative things your father has said. Don't be fashioned by how your older brother or sister has tried to fashion you. Don't be fashioned to the world of the abuser, the world of the user, the world of the offender, the world of the person who oppressed you. Don't let yourself be formed or fashioned after that, but be ye transformed. And that's really the word for metamorphosis. So it's not a battle where I need to make sure that I think right. I need to recognize those things that are wrong so that I can say I'm going to grab a hold of them and cast them down and then let God do this work that he's done when he saved me and made me a new creature. Let him give me the new mind that he wants me to have so that I can be metamorphosized into what I was, into what I am as a whole person. I'm not complete yet. I'm not perfect yet. I went from darkness to light when I trusted Christ, but God needs to change my mind. And it wasn't until I was 40 years old to where I finally recognized that I was a slave to being a perfectionist. And it was a battle, and it took me a couple years to finally get the thing turned around. Oh, I began to see victory right away, but not complete victory because I'd fall back into it. But after a period of time, I was finally completely free from that. I won't say completely. It no longer controlled me. There can be times where I feel insecure, and some of those thoughts come back into my mind. I need to say, no, that is not true about me. This is how God sees me. My best is good enough. God's pleased with me. If they're not pleased with me, that's not up to me. I don't care about that because God is pleased with me. And I had to talk myself through that because the truth is God is very pleased with me because everything that's good about Jesus, that's what he sees when he looks at me. When he looks at me, he sees Jesus. I was thinking of, do you ever have those, you got to go way back to maybe when you had an encyclopedia or you had some biology books at school and they had maybe the person's body and you saw the skeleton. And then you had this transparency. It was a page in a book and you turned the transparency and it laid over top the skeleton and then it added like the kidneys and the intestines, and then the heart, you know? And then you turned another page, and then it added the lungs and the stomach, and maybe a few other things, pancreas or whatever, you know? And then you turned another page, and then it put muscles on top. And then you turned another page, and then it showed the skin. So when you're all done, you saw like the picture of a human being. Well, imagine that. And you're looking at the very first picture, the one that's just the skeleton. And that's God looking at you and seeing just the terrible, wicked sinner that you were. But when you trusted Christ, let's take that transparency and everything good about Jesus, he transposes on top of you. And now when God looks at you, what does he see? He sees a perfect son because you're adopted into his family by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hey, it's a great day. But he wants us to change our thoughts. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let the metamorphosis of your mind take place. And the word renewing, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's to renovate. Hey, I got somebody from Kentucky. They just renovated their kitchen, okay? Looks like they're renovating something else. They were painting and putting trim up, you know? And you know what renovating your house is like. And God says he wants to renovate your mind. And that is the understanding, your thought process, how you perceive yourself, how you perceive the world around you, that you may prove or test that which is good or that which is beneficial and acceptable. That which is fully agreeable or well-pleasing and complete is the word perfect, and desire is for what God desires. And if you're all done and you kind of take that together, it says this, don't be fashioned after the world, but experience a metamorphosis by renovating your understanding that your life can be put to the test, the benefit, and the complete desire of God. We're going to pick up on this. But you will have to wait until the next time. God bless.